I'm excited about the next few little weeks. We're going to do a series on salt and light. I Googled and I thought I'd taught on this several years ago, but no words came up, so it might have been a little while since we've talked about this topic. But it's very important in our Christian walk. You know, we're coming up in the Easter, how important it is to want to reach a lost and dying world. At least we should, you know. And a couple questions I want to ask us is, how concerned are we about people that live around us? You know, we all have neighborhoods, right? Or people that we work with, our little cluster, you know, people that we're around. And, you know, a famous quote is, are we our brother's keeper? Now, you remember who said that? It was Cain, who killed his brother. And, you know, Cain said he wasn't his brother's keeper. But I don't think we want to look at Cain as a role model. Does anybody? No? Amen. So it's important that, you know, not only should we be concerned for others, but the Lord also tells us, you know, we need to do something about it, and we both need to be salt and light to people around us. Now, we're going to continue in Colossians. We're going to jump down a chapter, okay? Just seems like the Lord has me zeroed in on this passage. And, you know, we talked about, you know, relationships there for several weeks, and this is sort of a continuation of the series on relationships, but this is about a relationship with those who are outside the faith. You know, how do we deal, you know, we should know how we should deal with brothers and sisters in the Lord, right? You know, we should have some sort of a working comprehension of just how we should treat other people, you know, that are Christians, especially those Christians that are close to us in proximity, like in this building right now. You know, so we kind of went over, you know, some ideas of what it means to deal with that. Well, how do we deal with outsiders? Okay, we're going to look at this now. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to verse 6, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. And then it goes into saying, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be seasoned with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the unction of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you're the teacher, you're our guide, you're the one who wants to bring us to revelation knowledge, Lord. And right now, Lord, we pray this that the Holy Spirit just moves just in our midst, just touching us each. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you've given me. I use it for your glory, Lord, and I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. Lord, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so like we said, we looked at how we deal with our relationships. We looked at how we deal kind of with friendship relationships. We looked at how we deal with husband and wife relationships. You know, I jumped over the parent-child relationships. We may do that later, but I didn't want to stress everybody out on that one. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. But so now we're going to look at how we deal with outsiders, how we deal with those who are outside the faith of Jesus Christ, those who are not born again, have never yielded, you know, and really know Jesus personally. Like I've always said, I went to church about a year in a good church, good preaching church, before I finally yielded my life. So I'm not so naive to know that just because, you know, somebody goes to church, it means that they're automatically a Christian. You know, it comes to the point where, you know, we yield our life and we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, and that's very important. You know, because that needs to be done. And we'll go into that some other time a little bit. But the first point I want to look at, the idea is that we need to pray with attitude. Pray with attitude. Now, some people, when they pray with attitude, they get real loud. You know what I mean? They fight the devil. You know, in the name of Jesus, Satan. You know, they get all wild and crazy. But that's not what I'm going to look at today. I think we need to look at the idea of praying with thanksgiving, like it said here. Now, the first word I want to see today is the word devote. You know, if you break that down, it's devote means to do something with intense effort. It means we're dedicated. You know, we need to be dedicated to prayer. How important that is. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to convey here. And there was a reason. There was a reason. See, not only do we pray for ourselves, we need to be praying for evangelism. You know, several scriptures talks about how pray for the laborers to go forth. I mean, hopefully we're one of the laborers, but also there's people out there who are ready, who want to know Jesus Christ. Now, I know that not everybody's ready. I mean, there was times in my life I wasn't quite ready yet. I was close, but yet I had some things I wasn't willing to let go of. And so I just, didn't follow through, or I didn't pursue that relationship with Christ. And I'll be honest, I prayed to Jesus every night that I can remember, ever since I could almost talk. But I didn't know him. I didn't know him. You know, it's not till somebody kind of took the time and kind of took me under their wing, and they started to explain some things to me, and started to help me to understand, some of these concepts that were a little bit foreign to me. And I'll be honest, there's people, we think everybody thinks like we do, but they don't. Has anybody figured that out? We're going to look at that here. But see, what I see is that, prayer paves the way for evangelism. We need to pray. If somebody's not receiving your words, maybe you got somebody at work you've been wanting to witness to, and sometimes, witnessing comes down to bickering back and forth sometimes, We don't need that. That's not evangelism. Sometimes we just need to pray for the person's heart. God, soften their heart. Get them ready to receive what I have to say. And I'll be honest, they have a free will. They may not yield, but we're still supposed to do our part. I know that every time I've prayed before I witness, and believe me, I try to press in the conversations, and try to get it so that we can talk about Jesus. But I tell you, sometimes it's just like hitting a wall, right? They just don't, you just can't bring it up. You just can't work it in the conversation. And if you do, they shut it right down. Well, the only thing you can do then is, just pray. Just pray. Just start praying for that person, that God will soften their hearts. See, a devoted prayer, I believe, will increase our sensitivity to the things of the Spirit. And we need to do that. There's been countless testimonies. I've shared this one before. There was a group, I think it might have been YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and there was some evangelism going forth in a country down in South America. And just so happened in that country, there was a city that down the main street, one side was one country and one side was the other country. Well, these people were praying for, let's say, the one country A. I don't remember which countries are connected. That's why I'm not using that illustration right now. We got country A and country B. Okay, the people were praying for country A. And when they walked down the street and were giving out leaflets and trying to witness the people, they were very open and receptive to receiving what the missionaries had to say. But then they crossed the street and they went into the other country. Total resistance. Did not want to receive, just same, just on one side of the street or the other. And so it was kind of a testimony. Maybe God was trying to reveal to them and show them just the importance of how we need to pray. And I know I was involved in street evangelism when I lived in Denver, and we always met together to pray before we went out. It just made it better. Anytime we can pause and pray before we get into a situation is wisdom. Amen. We can just take a little bit of time. So then it talks about that thankfulness thing, that attitude, that we have to have, because thankfulness is an attitude. See, when we are thankful to the Lord for what he's done for us, we are more apt to tell others what he can do for them. See, if you're excited about what God's doing in your life, God's doing this and God's doing that, thank God for this and thank God for that, you're more apt to share with people around you what God's doing in your life. But let's say sometimes maybe you don't feel thankful. Maybe you feel bummed out. Maybe you feel that things just ain't going your way. Well, sometimes you share that stuff too, and we shouldn't probably, right? But what happens then is that we're less apt to be evangelistic because maybe we feel that God's forgotten us, And sometimes that happens in our walk, doesn't it? When things kind of go a certain way, maybe you just kind of wonder, what God's doing. But I really believe that, gratitude is contagious. I love hanging around people that are grateful, that are thankful for what they have and what God's given them, and that's a powerful thing. And so if we can kind of get ourselves over into that realm, you may look around, maybe even look around this room, and you may look at somebody and say, well, they got more than I got. It doesn't matter, just be thankful for what you got. I know that's probably not proper English, but hey, what do? I'm a hillbilly from Southern Iowa, but anyway, Don't compare yourself to others. You know, just look to God and just be thankful for what He's doing in your life. And as we do that, I believe God brings more things into our life. See, I am, and I think most people are drawn to more positive people than they are to negative people. You know, the only people that are drawn to negative people are negative people. You know, so they have somebody to talk with and talk about, or talk about someone, right? I mean, that's how that kind of works. Now, what I found is that growing up, I thought Christianity looked kind of boring because it didn't look like they did anything fun. But when I got saved, I found out that genuine Christianity is fun. You know, the relationship, and as we celebrate our Lord and what He's done in our life, and find people with like precious faith like we have here. I mean, what we can do together is so much more exciting than what could ever do alone. You know, a lot of people, you know, are afraid maybe to open up and to maybe trust others. I know that from time to time, and, you know, afraid to allow God to maybe bring healing to their heart because they're, you know, maybe afraid of maybe getting emotional in front of other people or maybe divulging some issue they have in their life. But, you know, I remember one lady, it's been 20-some years ago, and she would come here and she would just cry every time we worshiped. And, no, the singing was okay. I mean, believe me, it wasn't because of that, you know. But God was touching her. And she says, I don't want to cry in front of other people. I says, you can go upstairs. You know, you can go up there by yourself and cry all you want. She never came back again. To my knowledge, she's still in the same bondage she was then. See, we have to be open to let God deal with things in our life, to be able to touch us and to be able to set us free. You know, I heard Derek Prince, you know, I listened to some of his teachings and read some of his books. Some say he was a little controversial on some things about dealing with the devil, but that's neither here nor there. I had no problem with it. But, you know, he said a thing, one of his quotes says, you can have your dignity or you can have your deliverance. You can't have both. You know, sometimes we just got to let God and, you know, however, whatever happens there, amen, how He wants to set us free to be able to get rid of all that stuff. Now, when we pray, you know, we need to pray for open doors for evangelism. That's what Paul prayed. Paul didn't tell them, hey, pray that I have enough money, or pray that I have enough food, or pray that I get a bigger house. He didn't pray that. He says, pray that God will open doors. The greatest thing that you and I can pray for is an open door in all areas of life. Amen. That God will open a door for us. Amen. Because I do know this, whatever God has on the other side of that door is better than what's on this side of the door. Amen? Amen. When God opens the door for us, people, we can go into greater glory and the good things that God has for us. And we should want that and to give Him the glory for it so He can change lives. Now, next point it talks about here is the idea of walking in wisdom. You know, especially says, you know, walk in wisdom, especially around outsiders. And there's a lot of truth to that. It matters, it's all truth. You know, the worst thing that you can do if you go to work and you're at the break table or whatever you do, is to get into an argument with some other Christian from another denomination about Jesus and to have an unbeliever standing right beside you. Because all they're going to see is the division. Hey, if they read the Bible and they don't see it, so why should I read the Bible? If they don't see eye to eye. You know, you can have that conversation with somebody if you feel you want to, but it's usually not fruitful for the most part because both people dig in. But what you want to do is make sure, you know, that when you're witnessing or you're talking about God, especially in front of an unbeliever, you know, you don't want to make it divisive. You want to make it a positive situation. And it is positive. You know, even though, you know, our doctrine and our belief system may be a little bit different as you drive down the street over here, we may not see eye to eye on everything with these other churches. But the main thing is Jesus Christ and being born again. I mean, that's the thing. That's the entrance to the kingdom of God. Now, the rest might be a little more methodology and things like that. And, you know, I personally like our church the best. That's just me, but I'm kind of biased. But, you know, I like the way we do things, and I like our belief system. But, you know, it's not worth arguing with other Christians about things that aren't really the main thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, we want to try to walk in unity, you know, to the best of the ability. So, you know, we need to walk in wisdom. And remember this word wisdom, we looked at it, I believe, last week. And it's the Greek word Sophia. Sophia wisdom, that's practical wisdom. You know, we just need to be practical. You know, we don't need to be the pie in the sky and, you know, quoting, you know, get all holy and start speaking King James. You know what I'm saying? You ever ran into those guys, you know, or girls or whatever? How's thou'th doineth todayeth? Hey, I'm fine, dude. You know, I don't know what you're saying, but hey, you know, I don't speak like that no more. You know, and they get all quotey like that. You know, we don't want to be like that. We just want to be practical. See, an outsider, as we know, is just somebody that doesn't know Jesus. It's as simple as that. We're not judging them. I was one myself, and you were one yourself. Nobody is born a Christian. That's why you have to be born again. So we're not looking down on people that don't know Jesus Christ. You know, we want to have opportunities to share the faith. Now, I'm not so naive to know that. I do know this, not everybody's going to get saved. Not everybody's going to receive Jesus Christ for whatever the case may be. You know, it's unfortunate in a bad way because, you know, it's an eternal decision. But, you know, all we're supposed to do is try to witness and to be and share the love of Jesus and let God do the work in the heart. Amen? You know, I'm telling myself, I told this story several times, but I thought of it today. It still amazes me. You know, I was just graduated Bible school, and I had done some mission trips over to Greece, and I really had a kinship with this missionary, Wayne and Adrian. I thought of getting up early today because we set the clocks up, which didn't bother me a bit. But, you know, I used to, when I stayed with them, I slept up on the roof in a little room. It's kind of like in the Old Testament, they had those prophets' quarters or whatever, but this little room didn't have no windows or door, you know, but that's where I lived. And the neighbor had a chicken. Wasn't just any chicken, it was a rooster, you know. And that old boy, every morning when the sun come up, I mean, it didn't matter. He's just getting you up for prayer or whatever the case. You know, he tasted pretty good, too. I didn't kill him. But, you know, but the importance of how that is, and I remember I went out witnessing one day. We did a lot of street preaching over there, and, you know, Wayne would do the interpreting a lot of times, but him and Adrian stayed home. Maybe they were tired, and we had some young people with us that came over, and there's a lot of Greeks that live here in the United States that go back over there and visit family in the summers. But anyway, this young girl, she's about my age, probably a little bit younger. And so we went out, a group of us, and she was going to be my interpreter. You know, and she was American, so she spoke good English, and she was Greek, so she spoke excellent Greek. So we went into this park, and we was there, and I was standing there just preaching the gospel. There's a bunch of old men sitting on the park, you know. They have like worry beads. It's a little necklace-looking gizmo, and the old men would just play with that, and they, you know, that's just what they did. And you know, all of a sudden, I was preaching away, you know, telling people how to get saved and, you know, how important it is to give your life to Christ. And you have to understand, this is a country where the Greek Orthodox Church is the main church, so it's a big thing, you know, to step away from that. But all of a sudden, I'm preaching away, and this old guy, you know, he looked like he's in about 65 years old, and I was 30 then, so I thought he was old. Now it's not that old, but he got within 2 feet of me and this girl and just stood there while I was preaching, and she was interpreting, and I says, "What's he want?" You know. So blah, 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 she talked to him. She says, "He wants to get saved." I go, "What?" You know, here I was preaching for people to get saved, but we'd never had anybody do that before. So we led him to the Lord. And you know how I know it worked? Because I knew a few Greek words, and one of the words is kala, and that means good. And after we prayed with him, he pointed to his stomach and said, "Kala, kala." And I'm pretty sure that's Greek for good. Anyway, maybe it was for a burrito, but anyway, no. But it just touched me, the fact that sometimes, you know, when I went in there knowing that I've been there a lot of times, that we're going to preach the gospel, but nothing's probably going to happen. You know what I mean? And so I went in there thinking, I'm just sowing seed. You know, we pass out information and then it worked that way. But see, God touched this man's heart. See, it works, you know, when we preach the gospel. See, the gospel has a power on it to bring change. And that's what happened that day. And I still remember that, just like I can visualize everything. I can still see that chicken, but more so, I can really see that man coming forward that day to surrender to Christ. And, you know, that's the greatest feeling, you know, we're going to get next to us being born again is the idea of when we lead somebody else to Christ. And I hope and you want to do that. See, outsiders, you know, they may not know, they may know about him, like I said, but they don't know him personally yet. See, an outsider or an unbeliever is somebody that's not a Christian yet. We've got to see it that way. You know, we got to believe that they want to come in, even though sometimes we may not see it all the time. See, there are opportunities out there, and a strong prayer life helps lead us to the people whose hearts are open. Because we build up our sensitivity, and we're going to see that. See, what I call them divine appointments, you probably all had one. If you haven't, you know, just ask God to, you know, help increase your sensitivity. But have you ever been just going along in life, and all of a sudden, boom, this is a God thing? You know, and you're there, and you're just, you know, having a conversation with this person, or whatever the case may be, and you're getting to share your faith a little bit about what God's done in your life. And before I forget, you don't have to know the whole Bible to tell somebody about Jesus. All you have to do is know Jesus. Amen. You know what I'm saying? That's all you need, is to know Jesus. What has Jesus done for you? How has Jesus changed your life? You know, and that's all we have to share. The rest can come later. And if you pay attention, you know, you're going to start to learn more things. See, you know, we need to reach the lost. And see, not everyone, not all of us are called to be an evangelist. But everyone is called to do evangelism. We're all called to witness and to be a witness for Christ. And that's the main commandment. See, in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, always be ready to give an account. So what's God doing in your life? And, you know, and to be honest, it wouldn't hurt if we did some homework. You know, sit down someday and, you know, take out a piece of paper or get out your, you know, whatever you want to type with. And, you know, type up your little bit of your testimony. And, you know, what does Jesus mean to me? You know, what's a scripture that I really like? You know, and be able to have that. And just kind of look it over because, you know, when you was in school, how many had to take speech class? I'm the only one. A couple of us, didn't we? I still remember speech class. Didn't like it back then that good. You know, but what'd you have to do? You had to get up in front of people and you had to give a speech. And you kind of had to know your information. Well, it's kind of like that when you want to be a witness for Christ. You know, we kind of rehearse it a little bit and think about some things. You know, what Jesus has done for me. You know, I used to be able to witness to all different kinds of groups. I probably still could if I tried, but, you know, whether somebody was a partier, I used to be a partier, I could do that. Or somebody, you know, didn't, you know, maybe go to church, had different beliefs, I could witness to that person. Or whatever the case may be, you know, different kind of groups, you know, all the different groups that make up a society. And, you know, just to practice. And, you know, the idea of what we can do for that. Now, the last thing I want to get into, I want to look for a moment on seasoned with salt. And we're going to go into it deeper next week, but just going to brush on it today. You know, Paul was saying here that we need to conduct ourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. And then how do we talk to other people? How do we talk to other people? Now, have you ever been in a conversation or around somebody? I think women would call it mansplaining, but, you know, they're kind of condescending, I hope, you know, towards you. And, you know, they think they know more than you and all that. See, just because we know Jesus doesn't mean we don't want to come across as knowing more than the other person and put them down and make them think it's big me, little you, you know. Here it says to speak with grace. You know, grace is very important. See, words are important, and we need to choose them wisely. We need to choose them wisely, you know, and try not to speak Christianese. You know what that is? We in the church have our own language, and we've all picked it up over time. You know, just like anything, you start to hang around something, then you pick up on it. You know, sometimes, you know, we can say, you know, God is omnipotent, you know. And, or we could say God is all-powerful. But some people choose omnipotent. Why? It's a big word. Yeah, I want to show off a little bit. Yeah. Or sometimes we say omniscient. We could say that. Or we could say God is all-knowing. You know? Which one gets the last one gets the word a little better, because we all understand that. Then we got omnipresent, and that kind of means God's everywhere at once. And we know that. But see, we can use those words. Another word that we use is sanctification. You know, sanctification. It means being set apart for holy use, and, you know, you got to get sanctified. And, you know, if we use those kind of words when we're trying to share somebody about Jesus Christ, you know, that we may have a disconnect. You know, I use words, but some big words, you know, you hear somebody say some big word, I have to look it up sometimes. You know, I'm not really that a simple-minded man, but there's some words I never use. You know, and, you know, I'm not sure exactly what that word meant, so I'll Google it and find out what it means, but I'll probably never use that word. Because if I didn't understand it, I do know that most of the people I talk to aren't going to understand it either. You know what I mean? There's no benefit of that word, you know. But we want to try to make it simple. And, you know, we cannot assume that someone else sees the things the same way we do. Has anybody ever made that mistake? The people that make that mistake has usually led to either divorce or broken relationship. You know what I mean? Sometimes we assume that the other person sees things the way that we do. And when you're talking to somebody, you've heard the old saying, you got to walk a mile in their shoes. Sometimes we've got to understand where they're coming from, you know, and try to make Jesus relatable to that. You know, like I said, I've been a pastor for a long time, and, you know, when I interact with the world, I have to make sure that I'm not coming across as somebody with 30 years of with Jesus when I'm talking to somebody that may not know him. You know, I don't want to be condescending and put the person down. I want to make sure that I'm relatable. I want to engage in conversation with them. I try to stay focused on them if I can, and, you know, not be distracted. And see, that's just part of how we can learn, you know, to be a better communicator. And like I say, people don't understand us all the time. And I'll be honest, my wife and I have been married 37 years, and we still misunderstand each other from time to time. It just amazes me. I mean, I still ain't figured that one out. I mean, we can have a conversation, and I really, really believe that we understand each other, that I understand what she's trying to say, and that she understands what I'm trying to say. No way. I try to explain it to you, but I can't. You know, but that's the way it goes sometimes, you know. I said, don't you remember me saying this? She says, no. And she'll say the same thing, and I said, no, but I'm hard hearing, so that's my excuse a little bit. But too much loud music and construction noise in the day. But, you know, we can't assume that people understand, you know, that what we're saying. And that's why Paul prayed this prayer. You know, he says, pray for him that when he speaks, that he will be clear. He wants to be clear. Why? Because this is very important. It's an eternal decision. When we explain and reflect Jesus Christ in our life, it has to do with somebody else's eternity. You know, so you want to make sure that they understand where we're coming from and what it's about. And sometimes it's not what we say, but how we say it. You know, I try to get that through, especially to some of our kids in the church. You know, they may say something, but their tone is totally wrong, and they wonder why the other person got mad. You know, it's, you know, your tone. We got to have it seasoned with grace. And then it also talks about like being seasoned with salt. Now, some of you probably cut back on salt, I would imagine. You know, they say it causes some health issues, but every now and then you need it, right? You need some salt. And one thing about salt, when something's seasoned with salt, it's pure and it's penetrating. When you get salt on something, you know it's there. You know, now we're going to look at maybe in the future this, you know, when salt has lost its flavor. You know, that's no good. But see, salt sometimes makes bland food taste real tasty, don't it? It adds flavor. See, when we witness for Christ, our words should be full of flavor. Life in Christ is not tasteless. And see, salt penetrates. It can overtake. I remember my wife and I, we ate at a Mexican restaurant down in Atumwa years ago. And we ordered something. It might have even been about the same thing. And we both had refried beans on the side. Same order, went in same time, we got them back. Mine were perfect. Hers were so salty you couldn't taste them. I mean, you couldn't even eat it. It had too much salt. I don't understand if I just got the end of a pan or whatever the case may be, but we didn't understand that. Same order. But see, salt, it really affects the taste of things. And salt affects, you know, whatever it touches, and we need to be salty for Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that we have, you know, that in our, because to me, salt makes things interesting. When it comes to salt, we all should have some flavor from our Savior, right? We need to have that flavor. Allow Christ to take control in our life. And when we speak and, you know, we don't just want to share information, but revelation, you know, and that happens by when you share what you know, you each, I would believe, have some form of revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, because Jesus has touched your life. He's made a difference in your life. Amen. And so, that's you. That's so part of you. It's just real. Thank you. Right? And we can't, you know, I can't really share your testimony because it's yours. You know, I could tell people about it, but it'd be information. So-and-so said this, or so-and-so said that. But when it's part of us, when it's part of our life, it's become a revelation to us. It's how we came to know Christ, you know? And the idea, I still remember sitting at 610 South Gilpin in Denver, Colorado, and when Jesus Christ touched me and set me free from the power of alcohol, and I surrendered my life to Him because that was my thing that was holding me back. Everybody has something that holds them back. To me, that was an idol that was in between me and Jesus. And when I did that, I was free. And God took the taste away. And I'll be honest, I drank for 7 years. Partied. I mean, I liked the party. But I knew for me that it was going to kill me. It was going to kill me. Whether drinking and driving. Back then, we didn't know anything about designated drivers. You know what I mean? We just... You know, it was just went. But see, I knew that was going to kill me. And I knew that God wanted that from me. It was what was between me and Him. Other people may have other things. But for me, that was it. And when Jesus Christ touched my life, He took it away. And that's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was sitting there on my chair. And... You know, I surrendered my life to Christ, and I was never the same. Never the same. Because the power of the gospel and what it can do. And so that's my revelation. Now, I don't share that all the time because some people, you know, get nervous when I talk about alcohol. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not saying, you know, yes or no on that. That's between you and God. I can, you know, just kind of read the scripture. You know, if you drink to get drunk, then I'd say that's a problem. And that's what I did. I liked, you know, I thought I liked myself as that person. If we had cell phones back then, took video of me, I might have quit drinking long before that, you know what I mean? You know, I probably would not have liked that person in the video because that's, you know, what had happened to me, okay? So we need to know how to respond, you know, to each other and to different people. Each of us are unique. I believe each person has a key to their heart. Not all keys are the same. If we got our keys out today and we went up to a lock, unless we had the right key, it would not open. But see, God will give us the key to someone's heart and that we can speak a word. Just one word might touch them and change their life. And He'll give us wisdom how to respond, it says. So, in closing here, the walk and talk need to line up with each other or we'll be sending conflicting signals. Have you ever been with somebody And, you know, they would ignore you in public. But when you were alone, you were their best friend. I think we probably all have been in some version of that kind of relationship before. And, you know, that's just, it's confusing, isn't it? And see, but that's what happens when our walk doesn't line up with our talk. And so we need to try to merge those together, okay? We need to try to get our walk and our talk lined up. You know, a picture that might be that walk and talk, if we visualize those as little streams when they flow alone. But when those two streams merge together, they become a mighty river, exerting its influence on wherever it goes. And that's what we want. We want to have influence. We want to make a difference. You know, we want to take as many people to heaven with us as we can.
Amen.
It's going to be a celebration time. Amen?
Thank you.
Hallelujah. And we all want to be a part of it. You know, that should be your goal, to lead somebody to Jesus. And you know, if you want to see me privately, say, hey, I've never led nobody to the Lord, and how can you help me? And I'd be glad to help you. You know, but the most powerful thing, it's just a powerful thing when God uses you as his instrument. And that should be our goal. Amen? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we honor you today. We thank you so much, Lord, for the stirring of your spirit in each of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we just want to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just know that we need to surrender. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, and you'd like to do so today, we want to give you that opportunity to dedicate your life to Christ, or maybe you have and you know you need to rededicate. You know, you are a Christian, but you've fallen away, and you kind of feel like you've done your own thing. If that's speaking to you, just slip up your hand. We'd like to pray with you today. Hallelujah. Or maybe you're here today and you know you want to be a better witness for Jesus Christ. You want God to use you and put words in your mouth that you may speak life. Just raise up your hand. We're going to pray. Amen. Father God, we thank you so much for the power of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, here we are. Use us. Lord, let us be an instrument of righteousness for your glory. To you be all the glory, God. But help us to be able to want to share and open doors for us to be able to share our testimony with those around us in Jesus' name. Amen.